Well, take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of John in chapter 14. Tonight I want to return to the passage we looked at this morning, and I want to return there for a closer look at one verse in particular, and that verse is verse 21. But let's begin by looking at the passage we considered this morning. Those verses are verses 18 through 24, and if you will follow along in your Bible, I will read verses 18 through 24, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. So John 14, verse 18, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples and says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" In verse 23, Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Right there at the end of verse 24 is kind of a serious note where Jesus says, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. It's like saying, this is important, and this is something you need to pay attention to. But tonight I want to take a closer look at verse 21, because I think there we see something that's a bit of a mystery to us. So look at verse 21 again, where Jesus says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." I think we can make a good sense of that fairly easily. But this next statement, "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Now, if you back up to verse 15, look at what we heard Jesus say there. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." If you love Jesus, you will seek to obey his commandments. You will obey God's, you will take God's word as something you must obey. You'll obey God's word. You'll long to please the Lord with your obedience to his word. Even if you're not perfect, and none of us are, your desire will be, if you love the Lord, your desire is going to be to please him. Your heart's longing is going to want to be to honor God's word. We also heard Jesus tell his disciples in verses 16 and 17 that the Holy Spirit would be given to them. The Holy Spirit would come. And now, we know the Holy Spirit has come and now lives in believers. Look back at verses 16 and 17 for a moment. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And when we read verse 21, and then as we think about what we saw there in verse 15 about keeping Jesus' commandments, if you love him, you keep his commandments. And then this promise in verses 16 and 17 of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And you have to make that connection there between those verses and verse 21 when Jesus says, "And I will love him," those who love Jesus, "and I will love him and manifest myself to him." That indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in believers, I think we have to admit, is a bit of a mystery to us. How does God do that? We don't know how he does it, but if you're a believer in God's word, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe that. And in some sense, as you walk with Christ, you come to know that. You come to sense it. You know that it's true. You have God's Spirit dwelling in you. But that indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in believers is a bit of a mystery to us. But there's another statement, one Jesus makes in verse 21, that's that another mystery that's connected to that work of the Holy Spirit in believers. Listen again to that second half of verse 21. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. This truth that Jesus gives us here that could be a bit of a mystery to us is that if we love him, he will manifest himself to us. If we love him, we must take that to mean that he will make himself known to us. It was what we began noting this morning when I said there's this one powerful truth, especially one powerful truth here, many truths before us, but one especially powerful truth that those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, he will make himself known to them. And that is a bit of a mystery to us, isn't it? How Jesus manifests himself to those who love him is one of those works of the Holy Spirit. And that is a bit of a mystery to us. But it is no less true. And it's something that ought to compel us to want to honor God with our lives so that we can know more and more of him as he manifests himself to us. Now you should note this. God is not going to make something known to us that he hasn't made known to us in his word. But often we struggle to take the word and obey it and live it out. And I gather here that as we take steps of obedience, God helps us more and more along the way. Jesus manifests himself to us in this way to help us continue to live for him and keep growing in Christ. And we know more and more the joy of the Lord and the peace of the Lord and a contentment that can only be possible if God gives us that contentment. I want you to turn with me for a moment to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 16, will really help us understand that we are dependent upon the influence of the Holy Spirit so that we are able to love and obey the Lord. We need help along the way to love the Lord wholeheartedly, to obey him with our lives. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 14 through 16, which really helps us understand this. The natural person, that's an unbeliever, verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person, that's a believer, judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now that's part of that mystery, isn't it? About how God works in us by way of his Spirit. He gives us the mind of Christ. He does that by way of the Holy Spirit. He also does it by his word. We take the word in. The Holy Spirit uses the word to help us to begin to behave like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by being obedient to the Lord. The natural person does not believe in Jesus, does not love Jesus, does not obey God's word. And because he does not have the indwelling influence of the Holy Spirit, he cannot accept or believe the things of God. God's truth seems like foolishness to an unbeliever. But the spiritual person, the believer in Jesus, the one who loves and obeys the Lord, that person, we're promised, has the mind of Christ. And that's the Holy Spirit influencing and working in that believer's heart, in helping us control our passions and desires, helping us direct our passions and desires so that they might be godly and not sinful. Encourages and teaches and instructs our souls, influencing our thinking, and doing it all with the truth of God's Word. And as we obey, God is gracious, and I think this is part of what Jesus is saying here when he promises to manifest himself to those who love him, giving greater understanding of the truth of God's Word. Giving a fuller understanding or a greater grasp or a deeper love for the things of the Word. When we get to chapters 15 and 16 here in John's Gospel, Jesus is going to reemphasize this truth about the Holy Spirit teaching believers, guiding with the truth. Here's John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. I think this points back to Jesus' statement about manifesting himself to those who love him. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He will bear witness about me. Again, we're reminded here that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth will bear witness about the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, in our minds, our souls, in our lives, with the Word of God as we take it to heart and take steps to obey it. And this witness will be for the purpose of strengthening us in this life. We all face various hardships and difficulties, and we don't have any clue what lies ahead, do we? But we know that in this life it's going to be a challenge for us as long as we are awaiting our eternal kingdom with Jesus Christ. But this witness will be for the strengthening of the faith of God's children. For believers in Jesus Christ, God is all about strengthening us and encouraging us along the way to remain faithful to the Lord, taking steps of obedience in obeying God's Word. And I think that's a great part of what Jesus says, is manifesting himself to those who love him and obey him. And then I want you to hear this in John 16. If you want to turn there, it's a longer passage, John 16, beginning at verse 7. John 16, verses 7 through 11, we hear Jesus say this: Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in him. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I think we've got another glimpse here of what it means for Jesus to manifest himself to believers who love him and obey him. Not only will the Holy Spirit indwell believers and give them insight into the truth of God's Word as they read it for themselves, study it for themselves, seek to walk in obedience to the truth, the Holy Spirit will also work through the growing lives of believers, through their faithful witness pointing to the truth of God's Word, to bring conviction to the watching world of their need of a Savior. The world may not ever put it in those terms, but God is at work in the lives of believers who love the Lord Jesus Christ and obey him as Jesus manifests himself to them by the work of the Holy Spirit with the Word to actually be a witness to the world. And that witness to the world brings conviction to the world. With obedient believers in the world who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the world is without excuse. The world doesn't even need to read God's word to be convicted by a godly person in their lives. You've probably had this experience, as I have had. It's been many years ago now, but I worked in for a commercial printer for many years, and I believe I was one of two believers in the whole place of about a dozen employees or so, a dozen, maybe 14 employees. And there was a lot of foul language at times, but when they were around me, I was also a pastor at the time. I was pastoring during that time when we were there, and I was trying to hold down a full-time job and pastor church. And when they would swear in my presence, they would go, "Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry." Well, I didn't expect them to act any other way. But there was something about the fact that I didn't say those things that brought conviction on them, I would assume. And that's true in so many other ways. You could probably give me more examples than that. But with obedient believers in the world, as Jesus manifests himself to his children who love him and obey his word, we become bright, shining lights in the darkness with the truth and bringing conviction. That's what we just read there. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away." Why? Because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit going to do? It's going to change you and bring you into conformity to the likeness of Christ. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they do not believe in me. Not only, here's another facet of this, not only does a believer's obedience witness to the world of their need for Christ, but the believer's obedience is also a witness to the believer himself or herself. How's that so? You're witnessing to yourself, encouraging yourself that you are in Christ, that you do have faith in Jesus, that your faith is real. Your obedience does not earn your salvation, so we don't want to think that. In fact, there are several passages that help us understand that. Titus 3:5 is one of them, which makes that clear. "He saved us," it says, "not by works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." By his own mercy, according to his own mercy, not by any works that we have done. Our salvation is not earned by our obedience. But your salvation does bring a desire for obedience. Your faith in Christ makes you a new person in Christ and puts the Holy Spirit in you. With God the Spirit taking up residence, you now have an internal push, if you want to say that, an internal inclination to want to please the Lord, to want to obey God's word. So your salvation does bring a desire for obedience to the Lord. Here's what Romans 1:5 says when we read this: "Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations." The obedience of faith. Well, the first act of obedience is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You admit you're a sinner and you believe in Jesus. And that faith, as it begins to grow in you, compels you, helps grow in you a desire to want to please and honor the Lord. So salvation leads to obedience, not obedience to salvation. This is why it's backwards for us if we think a good way of witnessing is to tell someone to change their lives and then trust Christ. We need to get it the other way around. Trust in Christ, and your life will change. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Should people change their lives? Yeah, we know a lot of people who need to change their lives. But what they desperately need is a Savior. And so we get it backwards when we look at the turmoil going on in somebody's life and say, if they would just do A, B, and C, their lives would be totally different, forgetting that they don't know the Lord, and they desperately need the Lord. It's not that we don't help people who are in need of help, but we ought not shortchange them in making them think if they just do the steps 1, 2, and 3, they'll be fine. They desperately need the Savior, as you needed the Savior before you came to Christ. So salvation leads to obedience, not obedience to salvation. And this passage reminds us also of the witness to the world our obedience gives. Here's another passage, James 2:18. It points to the same truth when it says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your works. No, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" We do good works not to gain a right standing with God. We have it through faith in Jesus Christ alone. No works included. But with our faith in Christ, we ought to have this internal compulsion, which comes from the Holy Spirit, to want to please the Lord with our obedience. And so that's I'll show you my faith by my works. Our works, our obedience ought to flow from our faith in Jesus Christ, flow from our gratitude toward our Savior. The Apostle John repeats this same idea in 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. Listen to these words, 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. "And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments." You see that? That evidence? Here's how we know that we've come to know the Lord. If we're walking in obedience. Not perfection, but pursuing obedience to Christ. Verse 4, "Whoever says, 'I know Him,' but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in Him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked." Back in verse 5, which I just read, "But whoever keeps His word, in Him truly the love of God is perfected." The love of God growing in us, compelling us to further obedience. Again, that's Jesus Christ manifesting Himself to those who take steps to obey Him and honor Him and love Him. And then in 2 John 1:6, the Apostle John writes again and says, "And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it." Is obedience important? It's very important. Very important. If you want the Lord Jesus Christ to manifest Himself to you, to make Himself known to you in your heart, to help you with the Word of God, to grow you in Christ's likeness, you need to obey. I need to obey. And then one more from the Apostle John, 3 John chapter 1, verse 11. "Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God." What is that? That's obedience. Obedience to God's word. Imitate good. Imitate God's word. So, salvation leads to obedience. And our obedience is a witness to the watching world. But the Bible never tells us that to be saved, we need to earn our salvation by doing good works. Those good works, that obedience, should flow from our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible never tells us that we have to do good works to stay saved. You don't have to do good works to stay saved. But if you want the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, helping you along the way, revealing Himself to you more and more from His Word as you read His Word and understand it more fully and enjoy the presence of the Lord in your life through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, obedience is critical. It is vital. The Bible doesn't does often tell us that our salvation changes us. So we're not coming to the Lord with our obedience, expecting Him to save us because we're obedient. But the other way around, because we come to the Lord in faith, He works in us by way of His Holy Spirit and compels us and encourages us toward more and more faithfulness and obedience to Him. If your faith is in Jesus, if your faith is genuine, then your changed heart will want to obey the Lord. I'm not suggesting that this is easy either. This can be a struggle to obey. But where there's no desire for obedience, we cannot say there's salvation. Someone who turns from the Lord and turns from His Word, those people break our hearts, don't they? That somebody who's maybe been in our family or been in God's church and maybe even has expressed some knowledge of the Lord or even suggested they've trusted in Christ, and then at some point they turn and their life shows no measure of obedience. It's not good for them that we call them believers. It's not helpful for us that we call them believers. We ought to pray that God would draw them to Himself and open their eyes and help them to fully believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If they're not believers already, if they're straying, if they were backsliding, God knows the difference, and He knows how to draw them to Himself. Now, what about this wonderful truth of Jesus manifesting Himself to believers? Again, this is such a wonderful and sometimes, again, mysterious truth that Jesus says here in John 14:21, "And I will love Him and manifest Myself to Him." This is really a continuation of the statement Jesus made earlier, back in verse 17. Look at verse 17 if you're back in John 14. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him." And then here's an important statement. "You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." So the world does not believe in the Holy Spirit. They don't accept this truth. They don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But believers in Jesus, because they believe in Jesus, are given the Holy Spirit. And we come to know Him because He dwells in us. And as Jesus says, "You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." And this way God manifests Himself to believers is a wonderful miracle, even if it's mysterious to us as to how God does this. And here's the sad part. People who reject Jesus, they will not see God. They will not have the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ working in them by way of the Holy Spirit, because by rejecting Jesus, they are rejecting God. But if you believe in Jesus, you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you truly love God, and you receive the Holy Spirit, and you seek to obey the Lord, and the Lord manifests Himself to you. It's a wonderful chain of events. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your part. Trust in Him. Trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in His finished work. And what does God promise to do? He gives you His Holy Spirit. And then He works in you, helping you grow in the desire to obey Him. And the Lord, as Jesus says, "I will manifest Myself to Him." Those who love Him and obey Him, Jesus manifests Himself to them. We saw this our last time here in John 14 a couple of weeks ago. Again, it's verses 15 through 17 where we hear these words, "If you love Me, you will keep My commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." What a wonderful passage, this powerful and wonderful reminder of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says the world will no longer see Him in verse 19 as He's speaking to the disciples, "Yet a little while and the world will see Me no more." And that was true. He would be crucified and Jesus would no longer show himself physically to unbelievers. But in the rest of verse 19, Jesus says, "But you will see me." Yes, the disciples would see Jesus after his resurrection. But even now, believers see Jesus. We don't see a physical representation of Jesus, but he manifests himself to us by way of his Spirit with the work of the Word. After his resurrection, Jesus would appear to those believers and see many face to face. But Jesus would ascend and go to the Father, and now spiritually, Jesus manifests himself to believers, to those whose faith is in the Lord. What a wonderful promise is ours to know that we have the work of the Holy Spirit in us as we yield our lives more and more to God's Word and obedience to it. Says 1 Corinthians 2:14, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." It's a solemn note, isn't it? The unbeliever cannot discern, cannot understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. But the opposite of that is a wonderful truth. The believer can understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned, because they have the Spirit of God working in them. And so the miracle of God's manifestation to believers is connected to our love for God. We ought never forget that. Believers are promised the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And we have this promise that the Lord Jesus Christ will manifest himself to us if we love him and show our love by our obedience. We cannot take license and say, "Well, I'm a believer, I'm kept in Christ, I have an eternal home, and now I'll just, until the Lord takes me home, I'll just live however I want." You will know no joy in a life lived like that, apart from the truth of God's Word. We can have a greater manifestation of God in our lives if we'll walk in obedience to his Word. What a wonderful joy will be ours when that's true of us. And as 1 John 2:5 says, "But whoever keeps his Word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him." Take passages like that to heart as you seek to live for the Lord each day. And so again, back to verse 21 in John 14, as Jesus says, "Whoever has my commandments keeps them, he it is who loves me." The evidence of your faith and love, faith in Jesus and love for him, your obedience. "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Praise God for that wonderful truth. Praise God that he makes himself known more and more to obedient believers by way of his Spirit working in us with his Word. I've spoken a lot about obedience, and I've said it many times in the message this morning and the message tonight, that we're to obey God. If we say that we love him, we got to prove it by the way we obey him. But you know what we need? We need the Lord's help in that, and we need the Word of God to teach us and instruct us. A large part of our obedience, a large part of our love for God, will be whether or not we love his Word. And whether or not we put ourselves in the Word and put the Word into us, may we become those people who turn to the Word of God daily for wisdom, for guidance, for insight, humbling ourselves before God's Word, and then asking for God to show us more and more of himself as we take steps to obey his Word. What wonderful promises are ours in Christ.